The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
But it is interesting that we are going around in circles. And if you happen to be the present president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, you are ready to bust your gut and pop your top. I wouldn't at all be surprised if the president now moves to fire the special prosecutor investigating collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign, Mueller, based on the fact that news reports indicate that he has now zeroed in on Kushner and Trump's daughter, Ivana, and their business dealings with the Red Chinese as soon as Trump was elected president of the United States. Basically a quid pro quo. You scratch my belly with dead presidents' dollars, and then we'll see if we can score you favors with the brand new administration. Now, if you remember what the president originally said, he said, no. You start investigating the finances of the Trump company and the Trump family, you are crossing that red line. Did he not? Did he not say that? He said that. Well, when you investigate Kushner and his daughter, clearly, that's part of the Trump family. So we'll see where that leads. That's the main story as we go into this evening broadcast. But earlier today, the screwball, the crackpot, the gunman Cruz responsible for killing 17 in premeditated murder at the Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland was in court. And maybe for the last time, as his court-appointed lawyer said, look, he's here for a hearing today. Don't expect to see him for a month of Sundays. If there's any other legal actions that are required, we'll be representing him. He just intends on staying in his 8x4 foot cell in which he's under suicide watch. But earlier today on Good Morning America, ABC's morning program, I was stunned when listening to and watching the family that was kind enough to bring Cruz into their household. Now, understand, Cruz was troubled. He had gone from a household in which there was dysfunction and then ended up with a stepmother who ended up perishing as a result of the flu just recently. They lived in Palm Beach County. Cruz had a friend from the time that he attended the high school in Parkland. The friend went to his parents, the Sneed family, and said, Mom and Dad, I've got this friend Cruz. We were on the the ROTC shooting team, and he's got no place to go right now. His mother just passed. Would it be okay if he comes and bunks with me and he stays at our house? And the Sneed family did not do what typical families would do in that situation. First off, he's not a blood relative. They didn't know him all that well. But they agreed to bring him and all of his possessions to their home, and he could live with them until he could find better accommodations, which was a few months ago. And they hired a rental truck, and they brought over all of his personal possessions, including his guns. And on the way to the house, they picked up a lockbox so his guns would be stored in a similar fashion to Mr. Sneed's guns. Everybody had guns in that house. And everyone had a separate storage area under lock and key. But the story they told of young Cruz is so different than what we've heard in the media from others who went to school with him, knew him, socialized with him, worked with him. For instance, let's go to the audio tape. Here was the Snead family, which housed Cruz, and talked about how what the media is saying about him, they just never experienced.
What was he like in your home?
Nothing like they portray on television or in the media.
Everything everybody seems to know, we didn't know. We had rules, and he followed every rule to the T.
And before he moved into your home, how well did you know him?
I had met him a couple times before. He had spent the night at the house, and he was very polite. He seemed normal.
No warning signs, right? And yet, he was a high school student who knew Cruz, who said something completely different.
Honestly, a lot of people were saying that it was going to be him, stuff like that. A lot of kids threw jokes around like that, saying that he was going to be the one to screw up the school. But it turns out, you know, everyone predicted it. That's crazy.
So the high school students, while gossiping like washerwoman about this, were predicting that Cruz would flip the script and probably go on a shooting rampage. Okay. The Snead family on Good Morning America talks about other accounts of his behavior.
These other Instagram accounts that he had, we had no idea about. My son had no idea about. As far as the animal killings, he never did anything like that at our house. We have animals, and he loved our animals. Our animals loved him.
Wow, he's a real St. Francis of Assisi, right? Surrounded by animals. Animal love. Now, the Snead family, quite frankly, they don't look like nor sound like a group of hillbillies living in a double wide-by trailer. You know, in Lake Worth, Florida, they're down on their means. They seem genuinely interested in his welfare, or at least in the time that he lived with them. But then again, listen to this high school student tells a completely different tale about the same guy that they're talking about, Cruz.
So, Nicholas, so we used to fish, and he was a strange kid. But I hung out with him because my friends hung out with him, and I got to know him. And he was definitely, he was psycho, for sure.
Psycho? Describe to us, what did you notice about him?
He's crazy because, like, he liked to kill small things, like little animals, frogs, like other animals like that. And he just had a crazy mind. He was racist, and he was just a crazy kid.
Now, could it possibly be the same person? Schizophrenic. Then here was the Snead family talking about guns, of which they lived the gun culture in the Snead family, but they talked about how it was kept in a safe lockbox.
And you were aware that he had weapons when he moved into your home?
Absolutely.
And where were they kept?
Before he moved in, one of the stipulations is he had to get a gun safe. And we got a gun safe on the way back from Lantana from moving his stuff to our house.
And he didn't have free access to this gun safe?
No, no. I thought I had the only key to the gun safe.
And then the Snead family again responded to the questions about how he cared for his own guns. Remember, Mr. Snead had his guns, and Cruz had his guns.
And had he ever asked you beforehand to use a gun to take it out of the safe?
He asked twice. Once I said yes because he wanted to clean it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which gun he wanted to clean, but he said he wanted to clean a gun. I said okay. And another time he asked, and I told him no. It wasn't a good time.
And why did you tell him no?
I don't know what the situation was in the house. It wasn't a good time. I don't know. We were getting ready to leave or getting ready to sit down for dinner or something, but it wasn't a good time.
And then, because so much is fixated on the weapons, Snead family had no problems with Cruz having guns.
Judging from any past interaction with him, it seemed like you had no problem with him having a weapon.
No, not at all. He followed the rules.
They weren't allowed to be out if we weren't home or one of us wasn't home. And he knew that, and to our knowledge, he never had them out.
How could one person be so totally different? For example, listen to a neighbor and a student describe Cruz completely different than what we heard from his surrogate family.
I had him in my math class last year, and he had I had a lot of suspicions about him. Like, I didn't want to be mean or anything, because I just knew, like, me and my friend, like, we always said, like something might happen, and we don't want to be, like, one of his targets, because he said that he wanted to go to the military to shoot people.
He wanted to go to the military to shoot people. Okay, well, you're shooting people there in the military for a good purpose. You know, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, you know, good. But he never made it there. What I think is perplexing to so many of us is how could one person be described in such incredibly different ways? Now, you would think the Snead family spent more time with him since he lived in their home. In fact, the father had said he generally went to bed early, which is not something that teenagers do. But how could he have been so good while in the confines of the Snead family? So wild, so crazy, so out of control once he walked out that door, once he went to work. Remember, he had already been kicked out of high school the year before. Once he had hung out with his friends. Once he had gone on and started socially networking and integrating his social profiles with others, and they began to see someone who abused animals, who talked about gore, violence, shooting people, and naturally showcasing his gun collection. Could it be that he was two different people at the same
time? Curtis Sliwa, the deepest knowledge of the city.
You'd be the next mayor of the city of New York.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
Tenth Avenue freeze out there. I hate everything about the boss, Farmer Springsteen. But some people think they were frozen out of information in Marwah. I first heard about this in Patterson earlier today. And in fact, I'll be talking about that in the last segment, why it was in Patterson. But people were saying, hey, you know, the schools were closed in Nutley on Friday because of the scare in the aftermath of the killings in the high school in Florida. Understood. And they go, what do you make of what's happened over in Bergen County and Marwah? And I said, I really don't know. They said, well, there was a threat way back in October, and it seems to have manifested itself in a decision to bring the armed security officers into the schools. And there's been a lot of panic there. And I figure, hey, I wasn't able to connect the dots there. So let's get on the line. The mayor, Bill LaFerrette, mayor of the township of Marwah, to try to figure this out. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5, Mayor.
Sure. Good to be with you, Curtis.
Okay, so we know about Nutley. They obviously chose to close their schools on Friday after they received a threat in the aftermath of the shootings in Florida earlier in the week. But your situation in Marwah is kind of complicated because I understand from people whose kids go to school in the district that the initial threat was made back in October. Is that correct?
Well, it's a juvenile matter. And you know, let's talk in broad terms because it is it's a juvenile. And so there's a lot of things that we have to be very careful about. And apparently, what I come to find out, that there was some event that went on in October that the police felt comfortable with, and they took care of it through investigations with the school district and the police, and I trust their judgment here.
Okay.
However,
all right.
However,
but when you said that they took care of it, did they inform anyone in the community, or was it just an insular decision that was made?
Well, there was a notice went out to the parents of the school only to say there was an incident, but it had been taken care of, and really there was no threat. And that was really the extent of it. Didn't raise any eyebrows, and you know, life went on.
All right. So how did it suddenly resurface in the aftermath of the shooting in Florida?
Well, the shooting of Florida, first of all, we all agree is horrible. There's been some 239 school shootings nationwide, and we have got become numb to it. But there's something, you know, I think that this one has really touched the nerve of a lot of people. One of the first notifications went out from the superintendent said there are no imminent threats. We're not threatened in any way. But however, there will be a considerable police presence at all the schools, and I agree with that 100%. In the past, we've done things like this. It's reassuring to parents when they see the police at the school. And I agree with it 100%.
Now, was this decision in league with what had taken place in October? Had this same child resurfaced in some capacity, making additional threats?
Well, I don't know that this statement had, to my knowledge, had nothing to do with any prior threats. This was in a response to the shooting and try to add some comfort to parents who were would rightfully be concerned about the safety of their children. Now, keep in mind now, our police department, our township has gained over the last 6 or 7 years to be one of the safest communities in the state of New Jersey. So we're talking about proactive measures that we're accustomed to here. It's because we have a very good police department.
I know, but some of the parents are saying they received a email linking the note that the parents received on Friday to the October threat, and it didn't come until hours later, about 3 p.m. on Saturday. So a lot of parents felt they were kept out of the loop. They see armed guards at their schools. Do you think that the authorities were a dollar short and a day late, and they should have kept the parents certainly more up to date in terms of the actions that were being taken?
Well, what had happened actually is around 8 o'clock on this Friday evening, there was a note sent to the parents. It talked about the threat of that a student had said that he was going to shoot up the school. And in that email, they also went on to say that on February 22nd, apparently this must be the day when this was supposed to happen for some reason, I'm not sure, they would sweep the schools, and on the 23rd, to Friday, this coming Friday, there would be a certain presence in the school throughout the entire day with additional measures being taken that they wouldn't discuss. And I think here, that is where social media absolutely exploded. Residents made in the news of Parkland now are hearing that we have a shooter, potential shooter, in our community, and these extraordinary measures were going to be taken. Social media absolutely exploded. On one post alone, there was close to 500 posts from parents and residents expressing concern and confusion. Lots of accusations and hypotheticals, and you know, everybody becomes an expert on law enforcement, and no other better people to take care of this than our own law enforcement, Mahwah Police Department.
All right, but as mayor of the township of Mahwah, you've had to deal with the ramifications of this. This threat that you talked about that came in on Friday at about 8 p.m.,
I don't know when the threat came in. I know it was announced through this blast to their parents. That's what I found out about how severe it was.
Right, but it was from a young person apparently who went to the school.
I don't know the logistics of how it was made aware, or what time, what date it was they were made aware of this. That's some of the questions that I won't be able to give an answer for, because it is a juvenile case.
So in this case, based on the laws that guide you, you may never be able to actually tell the parents who that original threatening child was, the one who first issued a threat in October, and who may have triggered off a second round of concern with a threat that they sent this past week.
Well, I don't know that the threat was sent just this past week. I don't know that. I do know, by according to the principal who sent out a blast to the parents, that the October issue was a non-event, and he was doing it as an information that really gained no attention. So I don't know the details, and you're right, it's a juvenile case. I don't expect to get into a juvenile case. We all have to respect the things that go on around it, and no, I will probably, the frustrating part is, in social media, everybody wants to know everything, including the name of the child and where everything is. No one's going to be happy. It's very frustrating for them, the parents, to not know. But the facts are, nobody can tell them.
Do okay? Appreciate so, that. Bill LaFerrette, mayor of the township of Mahwah.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel founder Curtis Sliwa.
Really try to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
And in league with the indictments that came down the pipe from the Justice Department on Friday, the breaking news in the last hour coming from Mueller's office is that he is investigating Kushner and, yes, Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka, for backdooring with the Red Chinese, scratching their bellies and they're scratching Kushner and Ivanka's bellies in the aftermath of Trump's unexpected election victory. On the line to discuss it, Gersh Kuntzman, breaking news editor at Newsweek. Why is it, Gersh, that Curtis Lee was breaking this story and not Gersh Kuntzman at Newsweek?
Well, first of all, it's President's Day, so I was obviously honoring our 45 great presidents. And taking the day off. I will tell you this, Curtis, of course they're looking into Kushner. Of course they're looking into Ivanka. Jared Kushner has been in the White House for more than a year, and he does not have a security clearance. The reason for that is the FBI obviously has something on him.
But now, let me ask you this, Gersh. You may have remembered that one-on-one interview that the President, Donald Trump, had with the New York Times, in which he was asked the question that if Mueller were to start investigating his family and his family's business holding, would that be crossing a line? And the president said yes. He answered in the affirmative. Do you think this might trigger off an emotional, over-the-top reaction of the president, who then starts talking about firing Mueller again?
Well, it might, but it shouldn't. If he fires Mueller, that's a really bad thing. And I'm not telling you that I think that Donald Trump is guilty of anything, certainly not collusion. But I'm saying that by appearances, he should not fire the special prosecutor. There's a reason there's a special prosecutor. There's a reason there's a process. We unfortunately or fortunately have to go through that process.
Now, Gersh, you know the president was dancing the horror before he went down to Mar-a-Lago this weekend because he said, oh, yeah, the Mueller indictments, Department of Justice indictments, 13 Russian nationals, 3 Russian entities. This proves there was no collusion with the Trump campaign. True or not true?
Well, it is true that the indictment does not prove or even allege collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign. All it alleges is that there are these 13 Russians working for this company called the Internet Research Agency that did, according to the indictment, intercede in our election by creating fake social media profiles, creating fake Facebook profiles, in fact, staging quote-unquote grassroots events that were, for the most part, pro-Trump and, for the most part, anti-Hillary. That's the allegation. Now, there's no allegation in that indictment that Trump himself or his campaign was involved.
But now, as much attention as we're giving to the fact that unwitting members of the Trump campaign were bamboozled in, this team of Russian apparatchiks, apparently with the green light from Putin, we're also promoting the fact that the out the caca, Bernie Sanders, should be elected on the Democratic side, correct?
Yes. Now, I read the indictment in full. I don't know if you have. It reads like a Cold War spy novel. I recommend it highly. It only has one line about Sanders, and it said simply that the Russian operatives in this thing called the Translation Project wanted to help Sanders, but it doesn't have any indication of what they did for Sanders. On the Trump side, it has elaborate, very detailed information about what these Russian troll farmers did by setting up fake social media accounts such as Blacktivist or Blacks for Blacks Against Hillary or something like that. They had all these different fake accounts that seemed to be real, and of course if you looked at them closely you would have seen that the English wasn't perfect, certainly not like your English, Curtis, which I can always tell is by a Native American. But nonetheless, they did convince a lot of people to believe that there was massive numbers of people supporting Trump that were just fake Russians.
Now, Gersh, did they ever actually bamboozle you with all the bots that they had out there putting out this information?
Only in the sense that I was receiving a lot of hate mail from Russia after I wrote a column last year celebrating the murder of a Russian ambassador. Because, as you know, I think the Russians are a hostile enemy of ours, and anybody who takes them down I don't have a problem with, as you know. I got a lot of hate mail. I got a lot of death threats. Some of them, I actually believe, were created completely autonomously. They were actually bots. They were sending me death threats.
Now, were you surprised that the vice president of Facebook sounded like Donald Trump over the weekend in defending Zuckerberg's naivete about who these Russians were, the bots that were set up, and all the rubles that were being shoveled into the furnace in Silicon Valley of Facebook?
Well, for the record, what you're talking about is this guy from Facebook, a high executive, saying that none of the ads were taken out by the Russians until after the election. I mean, that's just a flat-out lie if you believe the indictment. And it's absurd that why would they take out ads after the election? Maybe they paid for them after the election, but they certainly funneled hundreds of thousands of dollars into Facebook for these ads. It's a flat-out lie, at least according to the indictment. I don't know why he said it, and it certainly gave cover for Trump, but for no reason. It's not true.
So you're accusing the Zuck through a surrogate of lying.
Yeah, I am. I'm doing that. And if Zuckerberg wants to call me, he grew up in Dobbs Ferry. I grew up in Ardsley, New York. We're neighbors, and he can call me.
Oh, he's a Dobbs Ferry boy. You're an Ardsley boy. I figured that. You a typical hipster, millennialist who came in, invaded us here, and came into the borough of Brooklyn to establish your roots.
Why did I open the door to that? I knew that attack was coming. The fact is I've lived in Brooklyn for practically 30 years. I don't think I'm an interloper.
Doesn't matter. You weren't birthed in Brooklyn, Gersh Kuntzman, breaking news editor at Newsweek. But he's slacking today on President's Day, so I had to tell him. The breaking news today is Mueller is zeroing in on Kushner and his wife, Ivanka, Trump's daughter, and looking into whether they got backdoor yen from Red China as soon as Trump was elected president of the United States.
77 WABC. Traffic and transit.
Northbound on the New York State Thruway at Palisades Interstate Parkway, an accident. Southbound New England Thruway between Playland Parkway and Boston Post Road, there's a crash, takes out the right lane. Northbound the BQE at Queens Boulevard, disabled vehicle blocking the left lane. Southbound Springbrook Parkway approaching the Bronx River Parkway, an accident on the shoulder. Southbound on the Van Wyck, it's heavy. Liberty Avenue to Hillside Avenue, westbound the Belt Parkway. That crowds in 150th Street to the Van Wyck, and that delay continues up to the Nassau Expressway. GW Bridge, the upper level inbound is heavy. The Harlem River Drive to the lower level split. Traffic sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Outsmart the flu. The Exergen Temporal Scanner is the number one thermometer preferred by pediatricians. Smart technology backed by over 70 clinical studies. Protect your family. Rely on Exergen.com. Channel 7's Bill Evans forecast. Rain ending tonight, followed by some fog. Low in the upper 40s. Next traffic report about 15 minutes. I'm Dave Sullivan on 77 WABC.
Did you see the front page headlines in today's New York Post? We got fat cops, the fattest in America, right here in NYC. And apparently, there are no guidelines, according to the police commissioner, O'Neill, at One Police Plaza, to get control of the situation. You could become as fat as you want. Now, this is what I would suggest, that the coppers who are overweight, I mean, they got their guts hanging out over their gun belt. They've been pounding the donuts, you know, as they bust their shoes out in the streets. That they sign up for NJDiet.com. And I'll tell you why this will be perfect for the city. Because, you know, the PBA isn't going to let a cop spend not a nickel on this. The city, meaning us, the sucker taxpayers, are going to have to underwrite it. If they lose 20 to 50 pounds in 40 days, hey, guess what? They're going to be svelte cops. If they don't, in 40 days, they get their coin back. And all the coppers have to do is call 8555-NJ-DIE to set up a sit-down. And it's convenient to all. There's locations in New Jersey, Manhattan, Long Island, Queens, and Brooklyn. And let NJDiet.com get down and get busy, because they're going to determine the ideal diet plan for you, Mr. Police Officer. They're going to figure out the eating behaviors that you, Miss Police Officer, should be following. And each person's specific needs for essential vitamins. And again, they only got 40 days to get you to knock off 20 to 50 pounds off your rack. Or you get all your mooly schmooly, your ducats, your lira back, your euros back, whatever it is that we're paying tax subsidized to get you to lose weight. Look, just cut to the chase. Just sign yourself up to NJDiet.com. That's NJDiet.com.
Fetty
Wap, a degenerate hip-hop monster from Paterson, New Jersey, which I was at bright and early this morning. Sat in the offices of Charles Florio. He owns a number of properties in the Fourth Ward, which has its major share of problems. And we were looking to set up a Guardian Angel headquarters because parts of that Fourth Ward are just under siege. And there have been cutbacks of police and the corruption of Jose Joey Torres' administration, which has led him to wear pinstripes, has taken its toll. So now what I'm set to do is bring in the Guardian Angels Friday night for a town hall meeting. It's hosted by Reverend Alan Boyer, pastor of the Bethel AME Church on Auburn Street. I know Auburn Street. That's a rough spot, but we can deal with it. And then time for a sit-down with Jerry Spezial, the police director. And it's time for the Guardian Angels to get busy in Paterson, New Jersey, and thump those thugs.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.